after mortifying sin, which we see in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is and covetousness, which is idolatry, and putting off the old man with his deeds, verse 8, and first part of verse 9, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another. And what we have here in verse 5 are the sexual sins. What we have in verse 8 and 9 are social sins. Verse 10 tells us we are to put on the new man. After mortifying the sins of the old man, after putting off the old man with his deeds of flesh, we are to put on the new man. Question, what is the new man? It's that new creature or creation that Paul refers to in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you know it, say it with me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. That is the new man. It is the regenerate, redeemed self which walks differently from the world. Christ, through his salvation, has implanted within us a new man. We have the Spirit of God living within us. We have God indwelling us. We are now the temple of God. Don't you think having that embodiment should cause us to live differently from the world? And then Paul says in Ephesians 4:17 that we no longer are to walk as the Gentiles in the vanity or the futility of our mind. Rather, we are to walk by grace that manifests itself in righteousness. And this afternoon, what I want us to do is study the food needed for this new man to rightly walk, and then the fellowship that results when we do so. So if we have 2 points, it would be the food needed for our new man and the fellowship that really comes to pass when we are feasting on this food. Verses 10 and 11, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. The food needed for our new man to walk uprightly is described in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, when we are renewed in knowledge, we become like our Creator, the one who has given us this new life. Now, the word renewed means to become new in quality. It certainly is in contrast to the ever-dying and totally depraved nature of the old man. And this transformation, this renewing of our minds, comes to us through knowledge. Isn't that what it says? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? In knowledge. Paul is telling us that holy living flows out of right knowledge. And the right food for the soul in mind is, what is this true knowledge? What is this nourishment? It is God's Word. Physically, we are what we eat. Spiritually, we are what we eat. Again, the source of this true knowledge and nourishment is the Word of God, which Paul acknowledges in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where he tells us all, if you know it, say it with me, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Friends, the knowledge of God, the living Word that comes from the Word of God, the written Word, equips us to do good work, to walk uprightly. And then, of course, Peter adds in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That sounds like renewal to me. And so the point is, the Word of God is the food, the nourishment that matures and energizes the new man. If you're not in the Word, you're not going to have a renewed mind. You're not going to become like Christ. But let me take it a step farther. How quickly we grow spiritually depends on how much knowledge we are gleaning from the Word, but then how faithful we are in putting this knowledge into practice. In other words, how faithful we are in allowing God's truth to renew us, how faithful we are in being doers of the Word and not hearers only, how faithful we are in our obedience to the Word. Let me just put it this way. When we hear the Word and we do nothing with it, I mean, it's like kind of passing right through our minds. But when we hear the Word and then obey the Word, it transforms us into the one who is the living Word. When my boys came along, I would teach them how to shoot a basketball, how to hit a baseball. Not that I was anything to write home about, but I would teach my boys. If all they saw was me shooting the basketball and hitting a baseball and they did not do it, maybe they had the knowledge of what I was doing, but if they did not practice what I was teaching them to do, what would happen to them? They wouldn't go anywhere. Friends, you have to take the knowledge that is being given to you through personal study, through the teaching and preaching of the Word, and you have to put it into application or practice. And when you do so, some beautiful things happen. If you don't, just having knowledge, what does the Bible tell us lead to? It puffs us up. We think, oh, I know more than so-and-so about God's Word. But the point is not just having knowledge. The point is allowing this knowledge to renew us, to conform us after our Creator, to become like the one who created this new man within us. And we call him Jesus. What does Romans 8:29 tell us? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And the beautiful thing here is one day this progress toward Christlikeness will be completed. 1 John 2:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But if we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is. Which all tells us that we then will be fully renewed. The food of God's word will have finished its work. Right now, we are still a work in progress. Amen? Knowing this, might we show patience and grace to other believers. I say, let us desire the sincere milk and the meat of the word, so that we will grow thereby to be renewed in the knowledge of him who created us. Which brings us to our second point, and that is the fellowship that this new man enjoys. And that comes to pass when we are being renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created us. And we see that in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, the reality of that day was the Jews who were circumcised and the Greeks who were uncircumcised were separated by seemingly insurmountable racial and religious barriers, meaning they wanted nothing to do with each other. It was so bad, a Jew would not even enter a Gentile house. A Jew would not eat a meal cooked by a Gentile, nor would he buy meat prepared by a Gentile butcher. Further, this animosity was so all-encompassing, this division so great, that when a Jew returned to Israel from a Gentile nation to show his disdain for Gentiles, he would shake off the Gentile dust from his shoes and clothing. Friends, that's separation. That's discord. That's outright hatred. And this strong cultural barrier was also pervasive in the rest of the ancient world. The educated Greek or Jew looked with contempt on the barbarians, the Scythians, and the slaves of their day. You say, well, who were the barbarians? Well, they were people who spoke with inarticulate and stammering speech. The Scythians, they were really nice folks. You'd want Scythians to live next door to you. They were the warlike barbarians who were notorious for their savagery. They drank the blood of the first enemy they killed in battle. They made napkins of the enemy's scalps. They made drinking bowls out of their skulls. And they were the ones who invaded the Fertile Crescent in the 7th century B.C. Josephus said of these nomadic people, the Scythians delight in murdering people and are little better than wild beasts. Well, as you can imagine, any fellowship that included Greeks and the Jews, the barbarians, the Scythians, the slaves was unthinkable. Remember, the slave was viewed, in the words of Aristotle, as a living tool. But what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13? He says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And Paul told the Galatians that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male or female, but for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And he asked Philemon to view Onesimus, his runaway slave, as no longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. And Paul further said in his address to the Ephesians, let me read beginning with verse 11 of Ephesians 2, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles of the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world, but now in Christ Jesus." "Ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition or barrier between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity or the hatred thereby." There's no caste system in Christianity. Positionally, we all have been baptized into Christ's body. Amen? Practically, we are one in the body of Christ because our minds have been and are being renewed through our knowledge of God's word. And so the lesson here is, because Christ is all in all. And you say, well, what does that mean? It means he is in us all. He indwells all believers. He indwells the Jew, the Gentile, the barbarian, the Scythian, the slave. He indwells all believers. Therefore, all of us are equal in his sight. And he has implanted this loving new man in all of us. And remember, love is the bond of unity. Friends, there's no place in the body of Christ, the church, for man-made barriers. Jesus breaks down all racial, cultural, and social barriers. And what fellowship we can then enjoy together around the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say how sweet it is. And so we have studied this afternoon the knowledge, the food of the new man, which is God's word, and then the fellowship of the new man, we are all one in Christ. That you and I truly can be a man, a woman, after God's own heart. And let me just say it this way. When we are being renewed in the knowledge of the one who has created us, who has implanted in us his life, there will be a desire on your part and mine to draw nigh to others in the body of Christ, to be with others in the body of Christ. You know, you really can tell a lot about where you are spiritually by how much you want to be with other believers, how close you want to get to other believers. Some families are closer than others, but normally, don't you want to be a part of your family? Don't you want to have union and communion with your family? Shouldn't that be the same way? I mean, the same mindset when it comes to God's family. And when you're right with God, you strive to be right with those in the bodies. And so my question is, are you partaking of God's word? Are you growing your new man every day? And I know this is such a rudimentary question, but how do we grow our new man every day? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. When you hear the word and take the word in, and then that word affects you to the point where you live out the word, you are being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the one who created this new body, this new man. Practice what you are learning, what you are studying. And so, are you partaking of God's word? Are you growing your new man every day? And then secondly, are you partaking of the fellowship available to you as a member of God's family through Christ? Are you seeking to be an active part in the body of Christ? Don't you think a loving, unified body of believers is going to minister to one another? And when you're one in the church, I think you will look for opportunities to minister to others. You will look for opportunities to pray for one another. And the body of Christ is so much stronger in its witness to the world when it's standing together. And so what do we need to do? What do we take from this lesson, this study this afternoon? We need to be in the Word. If we are going to have a renewed mind, and we have all these voices yelling at us, screaming at us every day, especially those of you that are out in the workaday world, you need to counteract that information that you're getting with the Word of God. And then you need to act on that Word. You need to be doers of the Word. That gives your new man knowledge to be renewed. And as that renewal takes place, you are becoming more and more like Jesus. It's worth the effort. And becoming more and more like Jesus, you're going to draw more and more closely to other members in Christ's family.